Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The last Sunday of the church year is often called Christ the King Sunday. But at least to me, that word king has moved from a concrete word that everyone knew what a king was to an abstract word. I'm not a big royal watcher, but having an interest in liturgical things, the recent death of Queen Elizabeth II was of interest. And someone during that funeral remarked that while it had been 70 years since England had had a king, it would most likely be even longer before another queen. Charles, William, and little George are lined up to be kings. But that modern English king really isn't the same word. If you showed even Queen Victoria the rights and responsibilities of Queen Elizabeth II, she wouldn't recognize the throne. Let alone if you go back to that tyrant George III. I'm not letting go of the spirit of 76. And the change in that word king is not really about unbounded authority. Because even a king in full, like Henry VIII, had a court and parliament and advisors and officers of government, kind of like the thrones and dominions and rulers and authorities Paul is talking about. And just as those things in our day can bind our presidents, be they chaotic or in dementia, they could also bind kings. The change in the word king is about effective authority. If Queen Victoria did not want something and would make a public pronouncement, that would be it. If King Charles made such a pronouncement, or even if it was the much more beloved Queen Elizabeth, my guess is that the next day the Prime Minister would gather Parliament and do exactly the opposite. And what then is a monarch to do? Is His Majesty's Navy really His Majesty's? A king in full has effective authority. What the king says is law, and it eventually happens. The important words of our king in our text are said to the thief on the cross. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The important words of the king are, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The words of our king are words of grace. This is the work that Christ came to do, to declare peace and pardon, to secure for us a place in the Father's house. The fancy doctrinal word is, this is the proper work of God, to justify sinners and make them heirs of the kingdom. And that word of God has effective authority. When God spoke, all that is came into being. When God speaks, things happen. This is kingly power. But it's worth pondering for a second the flip side of those kingly pronouncements. The thief on the cross is unique to the gospel according to Luke. Matthew and Mark record the two robbers crucified with Jesus, but both of them are joining in the mockery. If you are the king of the Jews, save yourselves and us. And it's part of the general mockery that is going on. Pilate has written, "This is the King of the Jews," which is the charge against Jesus above him. That's the I-N-R-I that you would see on a crucifix. Jesus Nazarenos Rex Iudaeorum. Rome did not recognize kings other than Caesar or Caesar's puppets. It's also a bit of mockery. What kind of king ends up on a cross? And that's the mockery of the priests and the Pharisees and the rabble that was just out to see the executions, and even the thieves on either side. Except Luke records the one's change of heart. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." It's worth pondering what happens when one continues to defy the word of the king. Treason usually brought death, although it could also be exile. But it's a strange kind of exile or death when the words one rejects are grace. "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Now, I don't think so. I'd rather rule in my own realm than accept grace. That's Milton's Satan. Dante reminds us that the New Jerusalem has wide open gates. It's hell that has closed ones. And not to keep the people in. When Dante goes to the city of Dis, the fallen angels refuse him entry. When Virgil and Dante try to invoke the name of God, those fallen angels redouble their efforts to keep the two out. It takes a specially tasked angel to force open those gates. Heaven gets its way. C.S. Lewis ponders exactly the same thing in his book, The Great Divorce. He posits something that isn't biblically supported, really, but that the grace of God is still available post this life. But what he shows in case after case is that the sins forged in this life have become their own definitions, kind of like Marley's ghost. And in case after case, being begged by loved ones and mighty angels to leave that sin, to drop those chains, the damned simply can't imagine repenting of what has come to define it. That's the alien work of God. If the proper is to speak pardon, the alien is to allow the chosen exile. And if we act this way when the wood is green, as in this life when the sap of grace flows through this entire world, how do we act when it is dry? Christ is the King who came to speak pardon. And the choice set before us by the word of the King is twofold. First, do we have faith that his word has effective authority? When Jesus says, "Father, forgive them," was Jesus heard? When he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise," was he? Will we be? There are lots of proofs and apologetic arguments. The greatest one for me is simply the resurrection. It was accepted because Jesus rose. But all of them are variations on the simple question, is Jesus who he said he was? Is he the Son of God through whom all things were made? just as all things were made at his word, we will be remade at his word, remade by his grace in paradise. We will have a resurrection like his. The second choice is the same as the thief on the cross. Do we continue to scoff? Do we possibly believe that this one is innocent, but not really fear God or the word of the king? Maybe we believe Jesus is who he says he is, but we don't believe in that alien work. We think that God will just accept us even if we continue to rebel against his kingly word. That both robbers are in paradise. But that wouldn't be much of a king or much of a kingdom if his word meant nothing. Accepting grace means admitting that we need it. We don't have to be on a cross to know that we will die. And that death is a just reward for our sins. We are all beggars. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Those are the words of any heartfelt confession. And repentance is the first act of faith. This Jesus is offering grace, and I, a poor, miserable sinner, need it. The first fruit born of faith is that repentance. So, there are typically three offices ascribed to Jesus: prophet, priest, and king. And even the world is willing to grant Jesus a prophetic role. The world is ready to pronounce him a great moral teacher. The world doesn't go this far, but there are lots of people in it who would be ready to accept Jesus as a priest. And the definition of the role of priest is one who makes intercession with God. Lots of people are willing to accept that Jesus bridged the divine, maybe even wiped the slate clean by his love. Something like a Buddhist bodhisattva, one who shows the way, but not the way himself, as Jesus claimed to be. But both of those are like the people in one of Jesus' parables, who go, "Lord, Lord, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." They are willing to partake of his offered cup. They are willing to listen to the prophetic voice, but their cries of, "Lord, Lord," come after the door was shut. It's the kingly office that stands in the way. Christ is Lord. Our King was crucified, and he bids us to pick up our crosses and follow. It's following the word of King Jesus that is tough. What does it mean to have a king? It means that his word is effective in our lives, that his word has authority. Like Luther says, when we pray, "Thy will be done," the will of God is certainly done without our prayer. But we pray in that petition that it would be done among us as well. Christ is the eternal King. His word has authority whether we acknowledge it or not. God will have grace, and God will carry out his alien act. What we pray is that we recognize Christ the King, that this word has effect on our hearts and on our lives, and that by faith we would see the joys of paradise, if not today, then soon. Amen.